Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. How you doing, Christine?
Oh, I'm fine. Don't I sound like it?
Yeah, last week I had my cold that was very expressive, and you had the flu. And or a 48-hour bug.
I had about a 72-hour bug.
Excuse me, a 72-hour bug.
Excuse me, it's
which
right.
I did not get.
No, thank God you didn't.
No,
yeah.
Thank God for sure. And,
but then I thought, well, I got the bug, so I'm not going to get the cold.
Right. And then you get the cold. We just kept telling ourselves, oh, it's the same bug, just hitting us differently.
Exactly.
And then sure enough, you got the cold. And then I've had to hear how I've given you the cold.
Really?
Yeah. Over and over again.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
No. This is how you do it, though. You go like this. Like, I just don't know where could you have gotten this cold? And I know what that subtext is for. What do you think it means?
Thanks for giving me this goddamn cold.
And you got it from Doug. You must have gotten it from Doug.
Or his family.
And yeah. Thank you for giving it to me. Sarcastically. But hey, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. We're your in-house Sunday nights, put your feet up kind of girls, talking about the week in a very, you know, like trying to just grab life, as much life as we possibly can during times we're sick, during times we're working hard, and having fun, because we're all about having fun. And
are we?
We really are. You're a psychotherapist.
We're all about life with the girlfriends. Yep, what exactly. Is life? Right.
Well, it's...
And we are mother and daughter.
Yes, we are.
And around here, I'm the mama, even though you bust me around a lot.
You say that, but I feel like I don't do that at all.
I know you feel
so,
that way.
I feel that way. And so...
I'm always like... Oh, can I do this? Oh, I better check with Julie.
Yeah.
She'll allow me to do this. I don't know.
Only when it comes to technology, because I'm not that great at it, but I'm a little better than you.
And oh, yeah.
And then all I can say is that just don't mess it up where I can't get out of it.
That's like last night, Dad was, you know, he said, you know, I want to go online and look at the Mercedes vans.
Yeah.
Because he saw a commercial starting at $24,900, which is a big... L-I-E,
big lie.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know where they're talking about.
And I said, well, sure, you can go online. I said, but that is our computer. We need it for work. Yeah. And if you get a virus and mess it up, you're dead. And then he goes, well,
no, not worth it.
I guess I'll just stay here.
And the reason why you said that to him, not because...
I did give him carte blanche.
Right. Well, because here's how it went. He wanted to look at this one auction site this week.
Right.
And I wasn't home. And... he calls me saying, you need to walk me through this because I've got to sign up before noon today or I can't be a part of this
auction.
And it's
like 11:30.
I'm like, okay. And then he goes, well, and I don't know how he figured this out. But, oh, first conversation was, how do I get to the internet?
<I'm> like, the intranet.
Yeah. And
or the internet.
Now, I have had this conversation with him 100 times.
No, Julie, he has no learning curve. You know
this
now.
Here's the thing. I really want to take a computer class with him because I think the reason why we struggle is he does it once and he doesn't do it for 2 or 3 more months.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to, you know, it's just too hard or whatever. There's a lot of things going on. But so when you get a phone call from your father who you have to take, you got to take the phone call from your dad. Something could be really going on. Like, Julie, I go, yeah, I really want to look at this camper that's going to be auctioned off. But how do I, you know, I got the paper here. I got the mailer, which is smart because I know that they got to get these guys in first through the old way, through a mailer.
Old school
way.
Yeah.
And he goes, now how do I get onto the internet?
If I want to make a bid, I got to actually go to register online.
And I'm reading
and
the print.
And he kept saying, I got to send him a fax.
Yeah.
He kept telling me that. Oh, Chrissy, I got to send him a fax. And I go, what makes you think that?
Yes.
And he goes, because the
fax number is there.
No, oh. No, it was not. It was the URL was equipmentfax.com. And he kept saying,
I can't believe you just said that. I almost threw my coffee up.
Okay. Expelled F-A-C-T-S.
Yes.
But he knew he has this belief. They wanted a fax. And I kept trying to explain to him that he was not having any of it.
He is literally like shy of like some IQ points.
Yeah.
But it's not true. It's not true.
Is it?
he is literal man when it comes to, and literal dyslexic man because, you know, remember when He gave out his email address. This is a this is a funny Norm story.
Oh, Norman.
Yeah,
Norman.
And, you know, he goes now. It's he goes. It was
no. He was taking an email address.
Yeah, and trucking so, at
it was a trucking
hotmail.com. And he goes, doesn't spell the first part. He goes at so hotmail h o t m a l. I know it's not M A L E.
He goes, so so your email address is George at hotmail.com.
Because now I'm telling him it's here's your email address, George at hotmail.com.
Right.
He goes, okay, George at hotmail.com. Yeah. And he says, no, it's not George.
Now he's talking to George.
He goes, and it's George at hotmail. And he spells it out for him.
H-O-T-M-A-L-E.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, God.
No. Back up, Dad.
Oh, my God. And he's saying it in this way that
he's
the guy
so
is.
Sure.
But he's saying it that the guy is like, so you're George at hotmail.com. And it's getting awkwarder and awkwarder.
And it's mostly like George Truck It, George Trucking at hotmail.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I'm hearing this and I'm literally losing it on the floor. Yeah. I'm rolling around, plus wanting to make sure Dad doesn't come up as a total weirdo.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and so we had to back it up. And he goes, oh, no, I'm sorry, sir. It's not M-A-L-E. It's M-A-I-L. And I think it's registering what he's now said.
Oh, no.
So he's got a little smile on his face, but he can't, you know, he's still got to act professional. This is actually a business conversation he's having. Holy cow. It's ridiculous.
This week you took Norm is on the pod,
yeah,
and his phone rang and you got it and you went Norm's phone, you know,
yeah, Norm's here, yeah,
and he wanted to talk to Norm and you said this is exactly what I heard. Norm can't come to the phone right now, he's taking a shh. That's exactly what you said. And I started like oh my God, I can't believe you're saying this. I mean, like, You're like, oh, truthful girl. He's on the pot taking a shit. You did not say shit.
No, I stopped
but
the
SH. You went SH. You went, he can't come to the phone right now. He's taking a shit. And I went, oh, my God.
And I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say shower.
But, sure.
I know. And then I thought in my head, because my brain's thinking this through, I'm like, well, what if this is important? And then I have to get Dad out of the shower. And I don't want him to be in the shower when I have to get him out of there, when I could just hand the phone in the pot, you know, with my eyes closed, you know. I mean, so, I don't know. I just, yes. And then Mom starts laughing. And I realize what she thinks I said. And so I can barely I am now laughing.
And
on
I
the
can't
phone
contain myself.
While talking to this gentleman.
Yeah.
And then realizing, once again, we sound so professional. But that's how my life is, though. It is literally, and I know I can't be the only one. You get mad at me sometimes because you say I cut people way too much slack. And I feel like we are all making mistakes 24/7.
Yeah. That's the nature of the universe
right
now.
Yeah, but we all know we're trying to get the point across. And so I feel like I just don't want to give anybody. Unless they're literally writing me a letter, which took time.
Yeah.
And even then I will question, was this the point you wanted to make? Right. I'm just verifying. Right. I'm not judging.
You can't tell unless there's an emoji, a proper emoji afterwards.
Oh, and so many times I put a smiley face after every one of my texts.
Just so that nobody's offended.
Nobody's offended. Oh, she's just being sweet and funny.
Yeah.
You know.
Because God forbid somebody takes you seriously anymore.
Well, yes. Exactly. Well, it was kind of funny. I broke my cardinal rule yesterday.
Which
I didn't
is,
tell you this.
Which is?
Well, which is never involve the children in a disagreement or dispute.
Which children is that?
Well, I discussed Doug with Hillary.
You did?
Yes.
Good for you.
Well, what happened
sometimes
was,
it's necessary, Julie.
He was just in this weird circular tirade thinking.
No.
No. And
hold
it was,
on. Hold the phone.
Yeah.
Hold the phone. That never
well,
happens.
Here's where he's at in his life. He's got, now officially he is, his daughters are productive members of society. Jobs. Mm-hmm. Jobs. Mm-hmm. There. However, until this point, literally for the last 8 years, he has been dishing out cash right and left to get them through college. Oh, you know, he hasn't had like this little nest egg saved, you know, that he could pull from. It has been a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Now he's to the point where he's helping his younger daughter get, you know, to the point of, like, paying for her way. And, like, she's supposed to get her student loans paid, but he's going to help out just a little bit.
And she's a, like you said, a productive member of society.
Yay.
Who is linked to a Joey.
Yes.
Who's also got a job.
Yay.
And they live in Chicago and go to, they love going to the gay clubs.
I'm getting Snapchats of, like, a effing great life.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. They take Uber everywhere.
But so here's the deal. She got her first, now her dad's literally been paying her way since, for the last 4 years. And, you know, had to get him going into their first apartment, you know. But we are all happy she got a great job, you know. Awesome job, a good entry level job in Chicago. Cute place. Lives in the basement of a triplex where the family that owns it lives on the top level. And there's another
family. Very family oriented.
Very family oriented. Yes. So we all feel happy and she's got herself a Joey, you know, all this good stuff. But she got paid like a week and a half ago, her first paycheck. And it has driven Doug totally crazy that she has not deposited her paycheck yet. And now they share a checking account for her because he has to deposit money in there so she can spend money to live and all that stuff up until this point of, quote-unquote, the day she gets a, quote-unquote, real paycheck.
Yeah. And may I say, what you just said is probably not true, the fact that the truth is she did not deposit the check into their joint account.
I mean, I told Doug that. I said, maybe she's not depositing it into that account. She wants
she's
her own
not.
Account that she knows that you can't see.
That's right.
And he goes, well, that's totally fine. But then she needs to stop spending money on that account. I need to close it off because...
That's right.
He was really upset because he's been looking at the account.
And he needs to not do that anymore.
He's not doing
he
that
needs
anymore.
To close that account.
Close it and
just
and set her free.
Right.
I said this to him, but he was just in this like visceral like I must have not taught her well. And I said, Doug, you've taught her. We've all talked to her about this. I go, she may have put it in her account, and you need to find out. I go, and she goes, I had to put money there a day because it was going to go overdrawn. And I go, you know what? Let it get overdrawn.
Right.
Let her feel that.
Right.
And then she'll know that she has to figure out a way to get these checks deposited into her account more quickly.
Of course.
You know, it's her first real time.
Right.
I mean, Doug has been, like I said, flipping the bill the whole time.
And also, I mean, that's a lot of entitlement. That's a lot of pampering going on.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that you get through all 4 years of school, not have to worry about money, not to worry about working, just your grades.
Well, and it's interesting because... I think she has worried, but nothing has been done seriously. No real plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like for us, because we've always grown up with family meetings,
mm-hmm.
and we've always known the budget. Like mm-hmm. as a family, you've never hid anything from the kids,
mm-hmm.
so we've always had these family goals. And it would have been lovely to think that those two together would have had like a family goal.
Right.
Let's see how we can get through this.
Right. How do we do this
without spending as much money as possible?
Right.
And she did have a job in college as well. But, you know, I know that, you know, they took out student loans for college and then he had to pay, you know, $1,000 a month or $1,000 a month to survive. And you go, whoa, you know, literally. And at this moment, he had this timer go off like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm free. And like, oh, wait a minute.
I'm not free.
I'm not free yet. Someone hit the snooze button. Hello. Hello. I'm supposed to be free. And so... And he doesn't know how to officially talk about this without everybody feeling offensive and defensive. And so...
He doesn't talk about it, though, from what I understand. He just talks to you about it.
So he talked...
He takes Quinn and just goes, oh, darling,
well,
oh,
he
so
says,
wonderful.
I texted her that she needs to deposit her money. I talked to her, like, why haven't you deposited your money? And, you know, all this stuff.
And what has she said?
The bank's not open when I'm here, and except that nowadays you can get to the point where you can.
Yeah, she's just. Yeah.
She just doesn't want to do it.
Who knows? So tell me about the Hillary thing. Though.
Well, so after the fourth call from Doug
to you
to me,
mm-hmm.
and in between saying, you know, I'm really worried about my blood pressure, and I'm like, and him just being in this really crazy state, mm-hmm. I wanted to find out if it had gone beyond me. Because if it had gone beyond me,
smart.
Then it's something more than I got to realize.
Right.
Like something
smart.
Else might have happened than what's just going down.
Right, yeah. I understand that,
and
girlfriend.
So I called Hillary, and she didn't answer. She called me back. And I said, this is just between me and you. Because I don't like to get you involved in this stuff. I just need to know if this is just just a venting situation, or has this gotten bigger than I need to know about it? She's like, okay. She goes, you know, your father has been harping right now on Quinn. I think it's bringing up some emotional trust issues financially. I'm trying to think.
Wow.
I said, but.
Sugarcoating.
Yeah. I go, has he mentioned anything about Quinn today? Because I'm getting the phone calls. And he goes, no, I have not talked to my father today, but I did talk to him last night, and we went to dinner last night, and I did hear about it last night. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. But he was fine about it.
Okay. It's just you then.
And or it has been building.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, okay. And then as I'm talking to her, he's calling me back. He's mm-hmm. calling me again. And I said, okay, let's just be between me and you. And I felt bad because it really felt like I broke. I don't do that.
No,
I don't. I'm not that person.
And so you do, because you don't, it's okay.
Yes. I think, you know, I love this guy, and yet I know that, you know, like a year ago, he was in the hospital for no reason. You know, we just found him on the floor. You know, he was in the hospital, and, you know, you were there when it happened. I got mm-hmm. that phone. Literally a year ago. It was literally a year ago.
I know.
Or was it 6 months ago? I think it literally was 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, we just found him on the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, I got the phone call saying.
And I'm in the van holding the doggy, his big dog.
Well, yeah. I get a phone call just saying,
and
hey.
Julie runs in.
Yeah.
And then you stick your head out the window, and you give me the thumbs up, and then the thumbs down. And I go, okay.
Shit. Yeah, you knew exactly what that meant.
Yeah.
You meant like.
He's alive, but barely.
Yeah, but he's alive, and I guess the ambulance is coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was funny because it was a day he had a big bodybuilding show. And his sister was in town and staying with her, visiting her, the mom. And I get a phone call from her, and I'm luckily in town with you, driving around doing errands Saturday morning, and it was like 8:30. And
yeah, it's early.
Yeah, it's early. And she goes, "Hey, Julie, just want to check in with you. Does Doug kind of get up kind of groggy? You know, like takes him a long time, kind of real groggy like." And I said, "No." I go, "Are you trying to tell me Doug's home right now?" And he goes, "Yeah, he's home." I go, "He needs to be up in Rockford 2 hours ago."
Yeah.
I go, "Something's wrong."
Right.
And so
she goes, "Well, can you handle it?"
Yeah, because I got to take care of mom. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm going there right now.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm trying to take care of Doug, but I'm also trying to take care of you because these situations you don't do well in.
Really? Really? I don't do well in those kind of situations.
Because you like to have a little control over your day. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, I could be in this for the long haul. Am I prepared for the long haul? Am I wearing underwear? Because it could be you're not wearing underwear.
Do I have a drink?
Yeah, do I have my little booze bottle with me? And I think I just said, it's not going to be okay, but we have to go to Rock. We have to go to Doug's house right now. Mm-hmm. I got to check in on him.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I walk in. He's talking very weirdly,
uh-huh.
and he's on the floor,
uh-huh.
and he's not staying awake, and he's in and out, but he's also very belligerent.
Yeah.
Because he wants me to help him get up.
Yeah.
But he's slurring his words, and he's a big man.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you're going to take me down. And the last thing I'm going to have him do is I'm not going to help him get up.
And then there was Bear there, and the St. Bernard, he didn't know what to do. He was freaking out.
Yeah.
So you bring him out, and bring him into the van, and I'm holding on to him.
And also, at the exact same time I'm walking in and assessing the situation, I get a phone call from his sister, and I say, Deb, the nurse, not Beth, who was staying with him, mm-hmm. Deb, the nurse. And he's like, I go, Deb, I can't talk to you right now. He is conscious talking to me, but he's on the floor. And then she goes, you better call the ambulance right now. I go, I got it handled. Like, you know, knowing that this is all going to turn out badly, because the truth is, the last thing he would ever want is to have an ambulance called.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel I have the pressure of the sisters.
Yeah.
Saying,
oh no, you had a call. I think it's interesting too from the 911. You dialed 911.
Yeah.
And he, you said he's being belligerent. He is.
He wasn't being belligerent. I didn't say that.
You did say belligerent.
Oh yeah,
you?
But I didn't tell the 911.
No, she didn't. No, but she heard him.
She heard him,
and she's concerned for you now.
Yeah, she goes, I'm going to send the police over. I'm like,
so the last thing he wants is an ambulance,
and police,
fire truck, and all of those things arrive
at the exact same time.
Yes.
Now I know I have exactly
in a crowded little town.
So he's in town. We're in the country. So if we were in the country, I knew I had about 15 minutes to deal with this situation. Right. I knew I had 30 seconds to get the dog out of there
right.
and move the van or you would be screwed.
I would be trapped.
And unfortunately, I moved the van, but not far enough because you were still trapped.
Right, right.
I moved it a block away, but those ambulances took it over like a block and a half.
I know.
And
the cop cars.
And so,
and then once one cop car, they all know Doug. Yeah. Like, oh, it's Doug. Let's go hang over there. Let's go over there. Like,
and so they're all coming.
Yeah.
And they know him because he sells sports nutrition. So, and you know, he has a store in Rockford. And so they all buy their protein from him and so forth. And it was interesting because as I'm talking, I got Bear out now and I got this. And then Deb's calling me back and I got the woman on 911. And I go, and she wants to talk to me some more and assess the situation. I'm like, listen, he's not critical. I mean, I can't help him. The ambulance is coming. I can't talk to you. He's alive.
Yeah.
He's just really slurring his words.
They kept assuming he was a drinker, too.
Oh.
Aren't they correcting that?
Over and over again, they asked me if he was a drinker.
Yeah.
And I just basically told the doctor, I said, I need you to understand something. I've known this man for a long time. If he's a drinker, I will be shocked because I don't think I've ever seen him have more than two beers my entire life with him.
Right.
I go, he's just not a drinker.
Right.
I'm not saying he doesn't have sugar because he likes his sugar. He has a sweet tooth and he likes his chips. Okay. I'm not saying that, but he doesn't like the taste of alcohol.
Right.
You know, so, and he literally, everybody in the family was just pounded with the alcohol question. And I'm like, dude, I would tell you, I literally, if he is a drinker, I will be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I will be shocked. And
they're like, well, be shocked, Julie.
Don't be shocked because I bet he's a drinker. Like, oh. But it was so funny. So I'm running out, moving, talking to the woman. I go, I got to go. I got to take care of the dog. And she's like, well, no, I got to stay in the line with you. I go, no, I got to go. You know, he's fine. Like, you know, I get the big St. Bernard because I don't want to have to deal with St. Bernard plus ambulance plus into the van, move the van, not far enough. Then they come. I run back in, and in the meantime, he is being weird to me and belligerent to me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You never have me." he wants me to help him up.
Yeah.
He's gonna take me down.
Yeah,
and that's my only problem. I'm like, I've got to get 5 minutes of stuff done in 1 minute.
You got to put away all the porn.
I had to put away all the porn. Clear.
That's the job
clear
I want.
History.
Clear history on this computer. Hide all the pictures.
And I think he wanted to put pants on before the ambulance came. But he was, and I would have helped him with that. But the problem was, not the problem, he was wearing, you know, briefs, boxer briefs, which I think on men look like shorts. I mean, he was modest enough. I'm like, dude, you're modest enough. Mm-hmm. It'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be fine. And as soon as you get to the emergency room, they're going to take off your clothes anyway. So what's the point? So, you know, he survived through that. He survived. Now, what was the point of that?
What was the whole point of that?
If there was a point to that situation.
Oh, my God.
We're just hashing out our life. Oh, yeah. So that's why I was concerned about Doug's health.
Right.
Because when he gets into these mental scenarios, because what had happened to him, no one knows.
Right. Still, to this day.
No, but in the emergency room, they were concerned because they couldn't keep him awake for more than like a 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And when the doctor would come in and shake him up and go, Doug, he'd wake up and talk super duper 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 fast. Like, and then fall back asleep again. And this went on for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent him someplace else and he had all these CAT scans done in his brain. And the end result was that he was in the hospital for 3 days. His blood pressure went through the roof because he just going, you know, this is going to be a fortune in medical bills,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a deductible and all this stuff, and he wasn't sure, did I pay my last balance and all this stuff.
Because he's too busy paying for Quinn.
And I finally said, at this point, you cannot worry about the medical bills.
Right.
You can't. It'll be addressed at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I go, don't worry about it. So just take your deep breath, let this go, because if you don't get your blood pressure under control, they're going to not let you leave,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to deal with other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gets into these moments of, I think, crazy thinking, and he can't break free,
right?
I need to know how far is it gone.
He does have circular thinking.
Yeah,
and you're right to assess it in a way, like, because I through the years, I've noticed that there is just the you where he really just, you know, takes it out on you in some sense, but nobody else. And like you said last night, he called
from
Quinn.
A mother, you're so sweet.
And
why? Because you go, and he takes it out on you. I wouldn't call it taking it out on me like I'm his beating bag. he's.
I gotta defend my darling.
I know, which I think is sweet. In no way was a situation of need of my defense being defended, but I think it's sweet.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Yeah, but then I can see though that if Hillary is not being subjected to it, then you go, okay, it's just me that he's venting on.
Right. And I'm opening up a cough drop, everyone.
Sure, go ahead, honey. You do it.
Yeah. And that's what I need to know.
Mm-hmm. And so you did assess the situation.
And I figured out that, okay, it hasn't gone to Hillary yet. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And then he's calling me and he finally says, thank you for letting me vent.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, okay. This was just a venting situation.
Oh, my God.
I go, I'd like to know that beforehand.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Because I need to assess what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so it was just venting. Mm. And it was funny because last night I said to him, I'd like to just vent a little bit. And my venting lasted one sentence before he was talking about something else.
Oh, my God.
And then I go, you know, God, I'm going to take that as a sign. Because I do know that, venting doesn't help anybody.
Right.
Like, him venting on me, it didn't make him feel any better.
No. And you couldn't.
And I couldn't. We couldn't solve the problem.
No.
Because the problem is, hey, she's not like she's doing drugs on the corner.
No, the problem was there's no communication between him and her.
Right.
Of any real value. Yeah.
Because he did call
her. He did call her.
Yeah.
But you said he was extremely sweet. And didn't mention anything at all. So how is she going to...
Right.
No.
And I mean, I said to him, I go, did you? And today he wanted me to go with him to Chicago today. And I just said, I have got so much work to do. There's just no way I can go to Chicago with you today. Because I'm getting my master's.
Getting your master's degree, girlfriend. Yeah. Is he still going anywhere?
I believe so. And there's a hidden agenda beyond that. And that is he's going to pick up that check and deposit it for her.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I think he wants to see the check and I think he wants to deposit it because he's just, and I think he's just really, really worried that they're not going to have money for rent, mm-hmm. that she'll have two checks there that she had not deposited yet. Mm-hmm. And she'll be able to, like, does she not know that it takes 2 or 3 days for the money to actually register in your checking account?
Mm-hmm. She may not know.
She may not know. And I said, Doug, let her fail. Mm-hmm. It won't be huge. She'll pay a couple overdrawn things. Mm-hmm. And then she'll have
And
to,
she'll realize, wait a minute, that sucks.
That sucks. And then she'll figure it out. She'll look at her balance every day.
Yeah.
It just takes a couple fails to start doing it.
Absolutely.
And then you're going, okay, I get it. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know? And so forth. So, that's kind of where it's at. And then you go, I'm so appreciative of my family because overall, we've had family meetings, reading Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich Again, talking about mastermind groups. Mm-hmm. That's been our family the entire time.
Right.
I just hit the microphone. I apologize, everybody. That's been our family motto. Mm-hmm. And I think overall it has progressed our lives better. Now, of course, there have been areas where I haven't seen change in my own personal life for years. I shouldn't say years, but you don't see the progress.
Right.
You know, you have steps up.
But still, but the way you handle something helps ease it helps add to harmony.
Right.
Helps, joy and balance and all that stuff.
Exactly.
And I think that's why it is important to have family meetings because here's the thing, like when you were talking about the Doug issue and the sister Deb, who's like the matriarch of the family, is calling you, telling you what to do. That is exactly what she has. That's her role.
That's her role.
She takes over but doesn't do anything.
Well, and
she
it's
takes
funny
over
you say
and tells
that.
Other people what to do.
And it's funny you say that because Doug has consequently have said to me over and over again, do not call the ambulance again if this ever happens. And I said, I will tell you that, but if your sister calls me and says, if you're taking, get the ambulance there, I'm going to do it because I'm more afraid of her than I am of you. So you can tell me whatever you want, but I am not going to be on her shit list for sure. So he goes, and I'm going to send the bills to her. Like, that's fine, but I am not. And, you know, and it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
And it's family life is family life's family life. But I think if we can say one thing is that I also always felt like our family meetings had, being young kids, we were able to have our say in it.
Right.
I think a lot of times at the end of a family meeting, if we had a plan, because we've built homes, we've moved a lot, you've always said, hey, can we do this plan? We can see that there's going to be positives at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
But as a group, we've had to say, yeah, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I never would have felt comfortable saying, no, I don't think we could do this plan.
Like, are you effing kidding me?
In the back of my mind, I'm like, are you crazy? This everything has to go right and nothing goes right. But I always felt part of the decision-making process.
Right.
And I think that has brought our family very close still. And
thanks, Jules.
And so forth.
Right.
And so, and also, too, this idea that even when things go awry or there's complications that come up in communication, it never means the relationship is on the line.
No.
And I think that's the most important thing.
Right.
There are too many times when I see family members have a fight and then, like, not talk for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And I've never understood that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just had a disagreement. Mm-hmm. You've had thousands and thousands and thousands of good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't count them as more important than the one or two disagreements.
How true.
I think that's why I've had a hard time with this election, real quick. I don't want to say much about the election, but I'm tired of people assuming that Thanksgiving's going to be hard when, or people getting back together again.
Mm.
You know, families coming together again.
Oh, interesting.
And they're so divided. Political views and divides. I think we can talk about divides in a healthy way. You're looking at me like you're out of your oven, Mike.
Well, only because I just, you know, we can, but I just don't know because, like, Dad was saying that they were talking about Hamilton,
yes,
and I guess Pence was in the audience,
yeah,
and they said something about we're afraid on stage. The cast said,
yeah,
we don't want to be afraid to live in this country under a Trump regime. And then Hamilton is also in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody stood up in the middle of Hamilton and said, you guys lost, get over it, you know. And so, I mean, I just have a feeling we're still unhealed.
Yeah.
I was watching Graham Norton last night, you know. And I kind of like that show, you know.
What's not to like? He's funny.
He's funny. And he comes out and he goes, the first thing he says was, America, what the fuck? And the whole audience just laughs.
Yeah.
And he goes, but we understand the American people have spoken. Oh, excuse me, have grunted, you know? And then what was the last thing he said? I can't think of it now, but.
Well, it was funny because last night on Saturday Night Live, they did a very interesting take on CNN. And I totally get how they feel about this. I thought it was a wonderful take. And they made a Westworld. It's that new show on HBO, which I watched the first episode. I have them all taped. Haven't gotten there to it yet. And it's about robots, you know. And basically, we find out that everybody on CNN has been a robot programmed to say the exact same thing over and over again. Because, you know, every response is the exact same. Like, this is crazy. No one's ever done this before. You know, I can't believe it. You know, and all the people that you love, they say the exact same thing over and over again to everything that Trump has done. And then we have a pro-Trumper. And she's like, now we got to remember, more people voted for Donald Trump. And then your guy, Van Epps, what's his name?
Van Jones. My guy that I love.
Yeah, he goes, no, they haven't. Yeah. And that was the response every single statement that Trump has made.
Did you tape it?
Yes. And then at the end, Anderson Cooper just breaks down and stops talking, and they all stop talking because there has been a flaw in the programming, and they had to fix it. And then I knew they brought somebody else in to take his place, and I thought it was so wonderful.
Oh my gosh!
You just get to the point where it's done.
You're done.
It's done.
I'm at the point where I really, you know, I would, if you would have asked me a year ago, like, would you ever be done with Bravo? Would you ever be done with CNN?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, no, CNN, I mean, oh my God, how do you get my news? Done. Don't turn it on. Bravo, don't give a shit about Andy Cohen or the Housewives. I have no idea what happened to me, but something did.
Something did. Now you're into, you know, HGTV.
I know. I'm into what I call it the four mind. Well, actually, it's three or four mind-numbing stations.
Yes.
And that's exactly where I'm at right now.
Right.
I just want to be mind-numbed.
Right.
Is that okay,
Julie? Cooking channel.
Yeah.
The cooking
channel, the do-it-yourself, HGTV.
Yeah.
And the food channel. Yeah.
Well, the problem with the food channel is it's sort of like, especially for me trying to give up sugar and giving up sugar during this holiday season, it's like if you're a drug addict, watching someone get high off of heroin and knowing that you can't do it. You're like, wait a minute, and remembering how good it felt. That split second, you know. I've not taken heroin before. I'm just guessing. I've heard people say it's a pretty interesting high. Like the girl from Wild, remember that movie Wild? She wrote that book.
Yeah.
Oprah just loves her. And I can see why. She's so charming and talks so well. And this lower voice air of authority, she's just great. But she talks about how she felt when she first did her first hit off of heroin, and how all the baggage from the past literally left her.
Really?
Yeah. And then, you know, but
I wonder if you get the same thing with ayahuasca.
Yeah. And now, I'm not for heroin, trust me, because people die all the time on heroin.
Really?
We have a teenager, like 19-year-old woman, who's up for murder because her and her friend took heroin. Her friend died. She lived, but she was the one that bought the bat.
Yeah. Well, I guess Dixon is called the heroin capital of the world.
It is not
Dixon,
called
Dixon, Illinois. Is called the Herald Captain
you
of the world.
So full
of okay, well, at least the states then. I'm not
I don't
saying
think,
the world.
How about the counties? No. It is a county's capital of. It is a capital of the county. It is not
what?
The it
Wait,
is
what?
Not the capital of the world or the.
Have you not heard that Dixon, Illinois, is the heroin capital of the world? Have you not heard that?
Only someone high on heroin would have said that. I do not. Maybe proportionate. I don't know. I would be shocked. To tell
you're like you guys accused me. I was telling you last night about Leslie Jones having a sex tape out there, and everybody talking about how rocking her body is, and you're like, I don't get how you would know this, Mom.
And can I say why?
Yeah,
you have had a cold now, and you have not been on the internet. You had on the internet,
internet.
Haven't been on the internet. Haven't been plugged in. You have been watching Food Channel and you know anything you can fall asleep to.
Right.
So I'm just I'm with you. I'm like, well, tell me how is it that you know something I don't know, and this is pretty big news.
And when did you not? And when I said to you, Julie, look up Foam Town.
Yeah.
Did you trust me?
Foam Town. You came up, and I said, "How do you know?
How do you know about Foam Town, Mama?"
And it is true. When you watch CNN or HLN or whatever those channels are, HLN is like the internet in some ways.
Yeah,
they pull up internet stories.
Yeah,
I'm not in the room. I've just gone. I have had enough. I just can't do it. Can't do it, girlfriend.
You do get mean to me every once in a while. Like I had the fan on the other night, you know, and Dad walked in, and he went, I'm done.
I tapped out.
You tapped out on me.
I'm tapping out. Well, it was funny. I felt bad because you don't like to be alone when you're not feeling good.
No.
And I wasn't feeling good, except you like to have the fan on. It is literally, the weather has changed finally. It is probably 50 degrees in the house, and I'm not joking. We have not turned the heat on yet because of you, Mother. Because you're just like, it's still such a, it's so crisp in the house. I love it. And then you have the fan on. And as I'm blowing my nose, and I said, please turn the fan off. You know, it's getting late, and you're like, no. But can
I did
please
agree.
Rub my
I
back,
did.
My
I
back
did
hurts.
Agree to move it.
And then finally, Normando comes home, and I just said, bye.
You said I'm tapping out.
I'm tapping out.
You kind of didn't say bye, Mother.
No, I can't take one more second. Tapping out, and that was it. And then Dad's like, I come back in, and Dad
All
has
right.
a scarf on.
All
and a
right.
hat on.
His hat.
He's rubbing your back. Like,
Norm was like, the other day, he said to me, because Linda had come over.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's talk going to Elliot's Corner.
Okay.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had and me.
Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
So what's Elliot's Corner? It's a time when we talk about what we've learned from our dog,
Elliot.
And animals and everything else. And so here we are at Elliot's Corner. And go ahead, Mom.
Well, I was just going to talk about Linda, who's Elliot's favorite, other than me and you, Julie, and Norm. Elliot loves Linda. And she has
not
four
in the right
dogs.
Way either.
No. And Katie Lou is one of them. And Katie Lou comes over for play dates because they're good friends. But Linda had called and said, can I borrow the fob, which is the key to the
automatic
key lock to the Oregon dog park. And she was going to take Elliot and all four of her dogs. And so, we said, sure, come on over and get the fob. So a couple three hours later, Linda comes back and you're gone and hands Dad the fob.
Right.
And blah,
I heard
blah,
the story.
blah, blah, blah. And so we're that later on that night, Norm's asking, he goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, is there an awkward time, that if you touch someone too long, does it mean something? Are they going to be, and I go, well, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm curious where this is heading.
I have no idea where it's heading. And so he said, well, when Linda handed me the fob, put my hand out and our hands touched and I somehow, I don't know if I wasn't looking right or whatever, but I grabbed the fob, but I also grabbed the underneath of her hand, and I held it there, and then I slid my hand across, down, the fingers, and I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Show me. And so I hold my hand out, yeah. and he does this thing, like he hands me a fob, and then he stops, and almost tickles the under part of my hand as he slides it along, and I just look at him and I smack my head. I go, Jesus, what the?
Yeah, that's a little awkward.
And he goes, yeah. I go, yeah, that's awkward. Yeah, what the hell?
Well, what's funny,
what the hell?
Is
what did she do?
You hit your hand to your head.
I did.
And then you tell me the story and you show me. And my first response was, I hit my head with my hand.
Yeah,
kind of
the Home Alone guy. Yeah,
except that I get. Like I said, I know that this stuff happens in life. He literally probably got distracted.
Yeah. Or couldn't see.
Yeah. Or, because now that I really believe out there, most people don't see the world the way I see it.
Right.
I've got pretty good vision. Right. And so I was watching my brother weeks ago, and I was seeing him lift his glasses up and focus. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I just can't see this. I go, what can't you see? I go, this right here. He goes, yeah. I'm like, what is going on? So I really believe out there in the world, people have a hard time seeing.
Right.
And so they make mistakes or things linger or whatever.
Linger.
And so,
yeah.
I think it's hysterical. And it's funny because we haven't gotten a phone call yet back from Linda.
he wanted to know. He goes, well, should I go to her and apologize for lingering like that? And lingering sounds like fingering in some sense to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't know he wanted to call and apologize.
Yeah, he wanted to do something about it.
No, he shouldn't have.
And then I go, I was trying to think of the whole scenario.
Yeah.
And, you tell me about her husband.
Yeah.
And you call him the Guido.
Yeah.
And so I feel like if her husband really truly is, a Guido, she's not unfamiliar
right
with
men lingering
with
a little
men lingering yeah. or
and
or
what was their, so funny is that
I
that's
guess
not
that's
Normano
wrong. No it's not Normano
and it's funny because what he did wasn't lingering. He just instead of picking up the fob and making it quick, mm-hmm. it was more like a gentle caress.
Thank you, Linda, for
Thank
the
you,
fob
Linda. And here's the thing, it is suspicious only in the sense that you guys are both from that generation where, you guys might have been swinging in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and the early 80s. I don't know. I mean,
I think the only thing he didn't do was actually tickle the underside of her
No,
hand.
He didn't tickle.
But I mean, like that's
does.
Exactly.
But it's so funny. You just got to let it go. But I want to say this, though, about things that being awkward. This is why we disagree a little bit here. Two things happen in our lives when we're together and you see me interact with people out in the world. You say I cut people way too much slack, and sometimes I'm overly nice.
Yes.
And then you finally saw an experience that I have complained about, which is sometimes people take me the wrong way. We were at a doctor's appointment. Just one of those annual things, you know. And we get there, and it's a new – we usually go to a different location. It was a new place, and it was packed. Except that I had booked a doctor's appointment for me 3 hours later, and I'm thinking, this is not going to fly. And I walk up to her. I said, you know, this is our first time here. I go, I've made a doctor's appointment in like 2 hours. Am I going to – what do you think? And she kind of – you could tell. You were watching. Mm-hmm. And I was literally just trying to get answers because mm-hmm. – it just seemed crazy that this mm-hmm. room was, I mean, there must have been 30 people.
Oh,
there.
Easy. It was just jam-packed.
I said, this is, I go, goes, well.
And she goes, she looked at you and she goes,
listen, honey.
She goes, honey, we don't double book here. We overbook.
Intentionally, because we're coming here for your convenience.
Your convenience.
I'm like, okay. I go, I'm not doubting that.
Yeah. Right away, she got on the defensive.
Yeah, and really,
and you were
just
hyper kind.
Yeah, I just had to go to a place where I had things stacked up that I thought I had given myself more than enough time.
Yeah.
And if this falls, then the rest of it falls, and
like
I've got to take
domino,
care of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is not the first time that I've met someone who got defensive quickly.
Right.
So I appreciate the fact that you witnessed it, that you saw 100%. that I was there. I literally just trying to find out the rules.
Yeah. And it seems like the more you're trying to calm her down.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're well, saying, hey, can I go?
No, I understand what you're saying, and
I
appreciate it.
I totally
it.
Get what's going on here.
Yeah.
Can I go? You know, if you're saying it's going to be 2 hours before mm-hmm. I even get in, mm-hmm. can I go real quick and come back?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
No. No, you can't do that. And so I'm like, oh, okay. And then we left. We found a space among the herd of people waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, I finally get it. Mm-hmm. I see what you mean when you say that out there,
mm-hmm.
there are times people take you like mm-hmm. you're being mm-hmm. judging or...
Right. And you're or like just, you're coming in for some kind of a kill.
For
you know?
A kill. And literally you're just...
You're just trying to find out. And
yeah.
Then, and as the other person seems to be, at least in my witness, escalating, you're getting nicer.
Oh, nicer and nicer.
Sweeter.
Yeah. And I go, oh, you know, I'm really, you know. And then because so many times you hear my conversation with people only the one side.
Right.
And you're going, why are you so nice to that person?
I know.
Overly sweet.
Yeah.
I go, because this is what's going
this
on.
This is what's going on. Now I get it.
And so I felt
because
vindicated.
Sometimes I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, like you're like, I go, Julie, why are you just, all you're trying to do is, you know, get some information. You're like going, oh, and
you're
being
doing
so
a great
kind.
Job. Oh, thank you so much.
So
I really appreciate
you, miss.
This. You know, and you're like, what the heck? And it's funny because people are probably listening to us and the truth is you hate doing that shit.
Right.
So sometimes you give me a list of like, hey, Julie, these are 5 or 6 phone calls I got you to make. Pretend you're me.
Thank you, Julie. Did I ever say thank you?
Yeah, because I don't want to deal with
you're
it.
You're my Thanksgiving present.
Right. And so, but I felt great because there are so many times that you've heard me be overly nice and go, I don't understand why you're being mm-hmm. so nice.
Well, it's so funny because you've actually met people that have met you thinking that they're me.
Oh, yes.
Like I can't remember, somebody at the bank or
oh,
something.
Oh, like the bank. I had this yeah. whole conversation with her at the bank pretending to be you.
Yeah.
And setting up all this stuff. And then I finally say, by the way, I'm sending my daughter in. I'm sending my daughter in for these forms. Is that okay? Oh, sure. No problem. And so it was so cute because the one time I go in there, I'm going to repeat this.
It's just so funny.
We're just dumping. This
yeah,
is like
we really are dumping today.
That's funny, but it's a kind of cute story. So I go in there. I have had this whole conversation as you.
Right.
And there have been times I was frustrated with the
right.
process.
Right.
And I go, okay, tell me how this can get done. I know this can get done, but how?
Yeah.
And she's like, we'll get this done. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Tell me how.
Yeah.
And then finally, I go in, and the first thing she said was, oh, your mom was so sweet. I could tell she was getting frustrated with the process. And
I'm just like, your mom's so cute.
Yeah, she's so cute. We have That's to be so careful. Funny. I just thought to myself, "This is great now."
That's great
because I don't want them to know that they've been talking to me,
right? And in general, our voices sound so much alike.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
that I people mean, you have really to really get to know us.
Yeah.
If you hear the podcast more than once, you can Correct. Figure it out.
You can figure it out, yeah.
But
in general, no.
And there are times, I will have to say this, that I've caught a voice message you left on my answer machine and going, and not real. I go, oh, why did I call myself?
Why did sometimes I call myself?
I will call myself to remind myself stuff.
Right, right.
I go, oh, what am I call? I'm like, oh, this is mom. Oh, I thought this was me. Yeah, so that is what it is. Now I'm coughing. Apologize.
Yeah, oh, sorry, girlfriend.
So it is interesting in this big world. I do feel being on this spiritual path with you and the girlfriends and just trying to take hold of your energy. You're responsible for your life and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is all damn well and good.
Mm-hmm.
Except that your energy is bouncing off other people's energies.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to just figure it out.
Yeah.
And this is when I think there is a ton of grace in the world.
Yeah.
Because overall, we're getting the job done. We're all surviving for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're all surviving. Mm-hmm. And there's so many systems in place. We all get taken care of, at least in this, in our communities.
Right.
I don't want to. Doug went to a funeral yesterday for somebody at his church, and he called up and he was crying a little bit. It was a sweet service of a 95-year-old woman, and I think his mom's funeral is not, or memorial service is not until December, and he was crying. He says, "I'm just so touched by how interesting her life was," and he goes, "My life's not that interesting." And I thought to myself, honey, if you passed away, we'd have interesting stories to tell about you. We'd have really interesting stories to tell about you. But I understand what you're feeling because at this moment, you're no longer responsible for your two children.
Right.
And you can do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And what would that look like? And it looks scary because you don't know, like she was born in the Congo.
Mm-hmm. And was she a missionary?
Her parents were missionaries.
Oh.
And were doctors. Her father was a doctor. Mm-hmm. Now she's 92 years old. So, I mean, this is,
yeah.
She was born in, 1910?
20?
20, right around there. And so, they told stories of how the father would build nets in this one part of the creek or lagoon so that the kids could swim in the river without being attacked by crocodiles.
Aww.
And Doug was sharing the story, and he was sharing it when we were dropping Bob off at wrestling, so in front of David and Hillary. And I heard the story, and my first thought was this. I said, that's because they didn't have Netflix. Because effing well, if he had Netflix or cable or his cell phone or his iPhone, those kids would be doing something else than swimming in a lagoon full of crocodiles.
It's like, we didn't have Netflix. We just had nets.
We just had nets.
Okay. Throw the nets out.
Hey, I gotta have some entertainment, and if it's my kids avoiding crocodiles, that's my entertainment.
Let it be,
So
be it.
It gets the blood pumping. If it's not Netflix, it's the nets. I'm sure the doctor was doing nets for for malaria, for mosquitoes. His whole life was about nets. Nets to protect him from the crocodiles.
That's right. And then finally, that doctor discovered the internet. Oops. It's time to close, Julie.
Yes, it is. We're doing puns. And we didn't have a pillar talk, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Choose to have a good life this week, everyone.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.
I just want to say one thing. I love my brother so much, but I couldn't imagine him. I don't know what kind of nets he'd have to build to allow his two beautiful daughters to swim in a lagoon full of crocodiles. I mean, it would have to have been made out of cast iron. I mean, really. Because, now they have helmets just to walk across the street. I mean, could you imagine? It would be horrible. That'd be horrible.
We should say happy Thanksgiving to Gregory and his family and his two beautiful girls.
And happy Thanksgiving to all the lovelies out there. And yes. I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. We've enjoyed it. This is the best hour of my life, really.
Me too, sweetie.
Hey, Mom, how's the show?
It was great.
It was great.